Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that we are truly excited to have you here with us visiting and worshiping with us on this Lord's Day. And any time that you're able to come out and worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ in spirit and truth, it is our prayer that you do just that. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us remember to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, keeping the main thing, and that's loving one another as Christ also loved us, having a zeal and a desire for God's word, a thirst for knowledge, and finally having a mind to work, being busy about our Father's business. And no matter what, through the ups and downs, know this, that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about that. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you truly have a relationship with God? Many people feel that they have the right relationship with God. They believe that this relationship with God supersedes the necessity for obedience. There are many aspects, saints, of the Christian relationship with God in Scripture. And really the purpose of this lesson this morning is to examine some of those aspects of the relationships that we have with God and to determine what our role is in the relationship. So the first thing that I want to address is the relationship of love. Now remember, I'm doing a small series about the hard conversations. And through my studies in putting these lessons together, the common denominator in all of this is love and simply obedience. It simply boils down to being obedient. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, the infallible word of God commands us to love him. And it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind." But this love that we speak of, everyone says that they have for God, must be based on our obedience. John 14, 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And we all understand what it's like to be a father and a mother. Those of us who are parents understand the relationship and how well it works when your children are listening and being obedient. Amen? Amen. Mine swing from the ceiling fans when y'all are not around. I make sure that we don't feed them after 12 and they don't get wet. They might multiply. But in all seriousness, we understand the relationship. We understand when there's obedience, if there's a way that the relationship functions, it fires on all cylinders when your children are being obedient to what you're asking them to do. But when there's a lack of obedience in the relationship, there tends to be a stunt in the growth of the relationship. And I need for us to understand that the lack of obedience constitutes a lack of love on our part when we say we truly love God. And it's important for us to make sure that that love is being shown. The second thing that I want to discuss is the relationship of us as it pertains to a friendship with God. Jesus, saints, considers us his friends. In John 15, in verses 14 and 15, it says, "You are my friends, and if you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." I need for us to understand that our friendship with Jesus is dependent upon our obedience. Secondly, if we have a lack of obedience that stands in the way of our friendship with Jesus, is it truly a friendship? I want you to think about your best friend. I want you to think about that person that you call your best friend. That one person that you know without a shadow of a doubt will be there for you. And no matter how much respect, love, and admiration you have for that friend, there is no friend like Jesus. When you want to talk about having a relationship and a friendship, most of us will not tolerate a person who is inconsistent in a relationship. Can I get an amen? So why is it that we believe that we can be inconsistent with our relationship with God? Why are we stagnant in that relationship, but we're willing to fight tooth and nail over a friend? We're willing to give our last for a friend. But the one, Jesus the Christ, loved us first. He extended the olive branch first. He gave us an opportunity to be in relationship with him. And again, when there's a lack of obedience, the friendship will wane. Do you have a relationship with God? What about the relationship when it pertains to family? When we are baptized into Christ, we are in God's family. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." We have a special relationship with God. Jesus taught that those who obey him and the will of the Father are more his family than his own flesh and blood. Do you see the sacrifice? Do you see the willingness of the friendship he's willing to have with us? He's saying that if you are willing to obey me, if you're willing to be in my will, if you're willing to tell others about me, show the characteristics of Christ, you are my family. We all know in Matthew 12 and verses 46 through 50, when he was speaking and the brother stood outside asking to speak to him. And they were talking about his mother and his father. And he says, "You know, who is my mother and who is my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards the disciple, he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You want to talk about being in a family relationship with God, you must be obedient to his will. See, we have a relationship with God as his children. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Now, I don't know about you, but I am grateful that he's my father and I am his child. But here's the separation that we have to really take note. Everyone is a child of either Satan or God. I need you to hear me and understand what I'm saying. Everyone is the child of either Satan or God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, the infallible word says, "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." See, children of God manifest themselves in obedience to God's will. See, it doesn't really matter how difficult it is, how tough it is. I understand that I must be obedient to God, no matter what. Why? Because I care about the relationship that I need to have with God. So we need to understand that if you have made a decision to be separate and apart from God, the wrath of God is in store for the children of disobedience. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Let not one person deceive you with empty words." Not one. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. God is our Father, and we are His children. And so he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18, therefore go out from the midst and be separate from them. We cannot look like the world. We cannot dress like the world. We cannot talk like the world. You know, simply, I want to ask you this question. We claim to have faith all the time, but what sense does it make to have faith in God and call on his name when you call on everybody else? What purpose does it mean to pray when you're still gossiping and talking about other people behind their backs? What purpose is it is to practice these things, but you're not being the child of God that you ought to be? You're not being separate and apart. It's important for us to understand our relationship with God as our Father, and we as his children depends upon obedience. If you haven't found the common theme this morning, it's obedience. And then the relation of fellowship, right? Christians have fellowship with God. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Christ. We cannot claim to have a personal relationship and fellowship with God while walking in sin. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie, do not practice the truth. Our fellowship with God is dependent upon our obedience. Our fellowship with God also helps us understand where we need to be. See, I think a lot of us forget or misinterpret when we don't fit in. There's a reason why you're not fitting in, especially if you're serving God to the capacity in which he has asked us to. You see, when you don't fit in, it's because God has placed you in a particular area in your life where he's forming you to build up your faith. See, if you don't fit in, it's because God is doing something. He's put you in a place to isolate so that you can spend more time in his word, growing the character of Christ in you. So there's a reason why you don't fit in. God is doing something. And we should not worry about fitting in. We should worry about being obedient. And there are plenty examples of those of us plenty examples in the Bible who shows us what we need to do. Many Christians in scriptures were said to be born servants of Christ. We know about Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 and Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. We know about Timothy in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Peter in 2 Peter 1 and 1. James and Jude in Jude 1. We are exhorted to conduct ourselves like bondservants. And so what does that look like? When 1 Peter chapter 2, 15 and 16 says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as a people who are free, not using your freedoms as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. You know, my dad, you know, he always has these sayings. And I tell you all this story many times when I was playing college basketball. My dad used to just do some weird stuff to really teach me some lifelong lessons. Case in point, he used to wake me up at about 4 o'clock in the morning to take out the trash. He used to always ask him, why are you doing this? I can take out the trash at 7 in the morning. Why must it be at 4? And you know what I had the audacity to say? I'm like, listen, I'm your son. I'm not a slave. And my dad, being who he is, after I woke up in the hospital, no, I'm just joking. what he did say, though, really struck me. He says, do you know the difference between a slave and a servant? I said, no. He says, a slave fights for his freedom. A servant gives up his freedom. So if you are a slave, you are fighting for something. You want to be free, but a servant gives his rights up freely to serve. And when I think about that, when have you given up your right to do all the things that you have, the freedoms that you have, and you do that in turn to be a servant of the Lord, but be a slave to righteousness? If I'm going to be bound to something, if I'm going to be attached to something that I can't break free from, let it be righteousness. Because I would rather be a slave to righteousness and a servant of the Lord than a slave to sin and a servant of the devil. So our bond service must come from our hearts. In Ephesians chapter 6, 5 and 6, it says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Christians are called to be bondservants, but our liberty in Christ Jesus is through our voluntary bond service. And in order to do that, you got to be obedient. The other thing that I looked at as far as the relationship is the master-servant relationship. And it's similar to the bond-servant relationship. In Matthew 23 and verses 8 and 10, it says, our master is Jesus the Christ, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher. You are all brothers, and call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. You know, another term used in Scripture to mean master is Lord. He is Lord over your life. Just ask why one would call him Lord but not obey. Think about that. We call him Lord all the time. And the moment that there is something that we have to do that is uneasy, uncomfortable, or challenges our servitude to him, we don't want to obey. I'll do all these things but this. I can handle this, but I just can't do that. And then in Matthew 6, when you start doing that, he'll say, no man can serve two masters. You know, those who do not obey God do not have the right to call him Lord or master. When you truly think about how you conduct your business spiritually, do you have the right to call him Lord or master? Again, I like to bring it home. Think about the relationship between you and your children. At what point do you say, enough is enough? Is there ever a time, as much as you love your child, as bad as they may go, as bad as they may have let go of the wheel, do you truly ever stop loving them? Where is it where a parent says, enough is enough, I've done all that I can do? Now, I know some situations where there are parents who no longer have relationships with their children. Here's the difference. God has always sought after to have a relationship with his creation. He created us for simply the purpose of worshiping him. The difference is his grace, his mercy, it endures forever. But if we can just grasp the part where it says, I will obey him, with all that I have, no matter how uncomfortable it may be, is when we really truly start the path of the relationship with God. Those in a relationship know each other. We can all agree, right? And God knows his own, just like you know your children. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, but God, firm foundation, stands bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are his. You know your child. Let me tell you something. You could be on the other end of Walmart and you can hear somebody cry, scream. You know that that's your child from far. You don't even have to see who it is. I can be somewhere and I'll be like, that's shh, D. What's it? Oh, that better not be. That better not be our children making all that. You know, you know your children. You have that personal relationship. And those who claim to know God but disobey him are unfruitful. I've never seen a child, especially growing up in my era, that was fruitful from being disobedient. They might have needed some ointment, but they wasn't fruitful. At the end of this, I need for us to understand that obedience is the key. If you do not obey God, he does not know us. And we understand that from Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, right? There'll be many who will proclaim to have known me, to have had a personal relationship with me. But because of their lack of obedience, it was all for show. Ananias and Sapphira, it was all for show. The intention wasn't in the heart. Depart from me, I never knew you. So here's the question that I have for you this morning. Do you love God? Are you a friend of God? Are you in fellowship with God? Are you a child of God? Is God your Father? Is Jesus your Lord and Master? Do you know God? And last, does God know you? Listen, if you have obeyed and are continuing to be obedient to God, then I'm sure that the answer to all these questions are yes. As in any relationship, there's a role to play with both participants. And if only one party in that relationship is filling their role, then that relationship either does not exist or will fade away or die out in due time. Our obedience to God is the foundation upon which all aspects of our relationship with him is built. So the question I have for you this morning, do you have the right relationship with God? And this is a question that every accountable person and Christian must ask themselves. A one-way relationship with God is not good enough. You may have a relationship with God in your own mind, but if you're not obedient to his will, he has no relationship with you. So if you're here this morning and you're not in the right relationship, then you need to get in the right relationship this morning. And the right relationship, it's not always a man or a woman. The therapist that you need is Jesus the Christ himself. The one who will dry your every tear is Jesus the Christ himself. If you haven't put Christ on in baptism, you have an opportunity to do that this morning. If you're struggling in an area of your life and you need prayer, you can get that this morning. If you're struggling and battling with sin or something that's reoccurring in your life and you just can't get over the hump, you can get over the hump this morning. Don't let another day go by and you not be in the right relationship with God. So if you're here this morning and you have a need and you need prayer or you have sin or you need to make something known, you have an opportunity while today is still called today to come down as together we stand and sing.